Welcome to Dinner at Our Place. I'm Steve Pierce. I'm here with my lovely wife, Jessie, as always. Jessie, we made it back for a second episode.
I can't believe it.
I am fairly surprised myself. I was fairly sure that we would only have four listeners and they would just demoralize me and we would never make another one of these ever again.
I thought we might have eight listeners.
You're much more optimistic.
Yeah,
than me.
We have way more friends than we think. And we ended up having a lot more than that. And I'm shocked and flattered and excited and grateful.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody who's listened so far, who's said nice things to us about how much you like the podcast, or, you know, if you hated the podcast, didn't say mean things to us, we appreciate that too. But we're really excited about how all the good things we're hearing and all the people who listen to it. To be clear, it's not like we're talking about like millions of people. We're not number one on iTunes or anything.
No, we will not be surpassing Pod Save America for at least a year. Like that's my realistic expectation.
So the realistic expectation is number one on iTunes within a year.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad we're keeping our feet on the ground here. anyway, thank you. And thank you for tuning in for episode two. Very excited to be here. And I guess we should start, Jessie, by me asking you, how are you feeling?
I'm doing okay. A few days ago was not doing so well, but doing better now.
Why were you not doing so well?
I went to a bar class over the weekend.
What is bar?
Bar, it's like a...
Like you went and you drank together?
No, I went to a bar class. That's clever, Steve. It's like a ballet Pilates-esque high-intensity...
Yoga Lattes.
Sandy Cohen invented... Pretty much invented bar. Like,
did he? Well, I'm in then.
But anyway, it's like a high intensity, low impact workout for women. And you go to a bar studio and you participate in a 55-minute class. And who knew your body could be so sore from moving it like 1 inch at a time in different directions?
That's all you do?
I'm so sore. I'm almost recovered.
Well, I'm glad that you are on the mend. But I think that based on kind of my past experience, those like classes where you're just barely moving your body tend to be the most painful.
The most painful. This is true. You don't have very good experiences with such classes.
No, I have a very bad track record.
Please remind me. Actually, how about I tell everybody about your experience. So
sure.
And you chime in if I miss any important details. So it was about a year and a half ago when I was barely pregnant with Cohen, and I didn't know what kind of workouts to do while pregnant, so I started the Tracy Anderson videos. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Tracy Anderson workouts, but she's a celebrity trainer.
It's trainer to the stars.
Trainer to the stars, and she trains. Who does she train?
Nicole Richie, who else?
I feel like she worked with Jessica Alba at some point.
And everyone wants to look like Jessica Alba, let's be honest.
Everyone wants to be Jessica Alba. But anyway, so Tracy focuses especially on like women pre, post baby. So I thought, I'm pregnant, great time to do Tracy Anderson workouts. And so one night, Steve decided to join me. These are like at-home videos you do.
I'm a very good husband.
I was also 30 weeks pregnant at this point. So you would have done anything for me.
I would have done...
I mean, you will always do anything for me, but like especially 30 weeks.
I was feeling pretty guilty to put you in that situation.
Yeah, so we start doing this Tracy Anderson workout. And how did it go, Steve?
It was, you know, it's one of those things where it seems on kind of its face that it's kind of like a wussy, girly workout for pregnant ladies.
You were laughing at first.
And I thought it was, because she has her arms like fully extended. I'm going to try and paint the picture. And she's kind of
He's
making,
doing it right now.
I'm doing it. And you can't see it. It's probably a good thing. And she's making these little like C's, like this little cupping motion with her arms as they're fully extended kind of over and over and over again. And again, just moving her arms, like not very much, like just like
little movements.
Yeah, small movements. And I'm like, this seems really,
you
really
were
lame.
Making fun of it, and you were laughing, and you were joking, and you were probably being a smart, I can't say that word.
A smart aleck, dear.
A smart aleck, I was looking for a smart aleck. You were probably
family podcast,
but
dear.
Very funny while you were at it. Probably being very funny.
Well, I normally am.
How did you feel as you finished that minute and a half of like arm workout?
So for the first like 30 to 45 seconds, the first half of it, I was like, this is really silly. But then once you hit about the 45 seconds of your little minute and a half interval or whatever you're doing, that's when the burn starts to set in and it starts and it's not like a, you know, a sweet, a little, it's not like a sweet burn. It's a painful burn.
It's like your arms are going numb.
And you're on fire.
On fire.
And I think I said a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have said. I was yelling curse words at Tracy at the television.
I'm sure you are not.
I called her a lot of bad things.
We cannot say here because we're not going to put the E next to this
episode. No explicit content. This family podcast.
No explicit content in this episode. It was really funny, though, to watch you because I think, obviously, certain workouts, I think, are tailored towards women's bodies. And I just don't think Tracy and you got off on the right foot.
Definitely did not get off on the right foot, which means I probably shouldn't be trying bar anytime soon.
I don't know if I'll do bar again. I mean, it's fun. It was super fun. It's kind of expensive. I have a friend, Steffi.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Steffi. Loves bar, and she's the one who convinced me to go. Not sure I'm going to go again because it's kind of expensive, and I'm more of like the get on the treadmill and run until you're going to puke or cry kind of person.
Yeah, like you you want to feel pain.
I want like a efficient, like brutal workout, and bar's not really that. So I don't know if I'll try it again, but I'm still super sore. My ribs are still sore. Oh gosh, it's been a long
time. Maybe you should get into CrossFit if you just want to absolutely blitz yourself.
No, I don't. I like
join the cult, Jesse.
I'm the kind of person that likes to go in, do my workout, be anonymous, and like not see anyone I know. I don't want to talk. I just want to go do my thing and leave. I'm an individual worker outer.
An individual worker outer. You're like a Republican of working out. Republicans yes. of exercise.
Yes, yes.
Everyone for themselves. Yeah. Well, great. So I'm glad that you're on the mend.
How are you doing now?
I am good. I had a wonderful weekend.
What was the best part of your weekend?
Well, the best part of your weekend is actually, I think, what we should talk about first, okay. Which was, it was the Grammys this weekend.
It was.
And if you know Jesse and I at all, and if you don't, now you're going to know.
Now you know.
We love awards shows. And we watch all of the awards shows, every single one of them. I think we watch the Teen Choice Awards where they hand out big surfboards as trophies.
We watch them all.
Kids Choice Awards.
You gotta be in the now.
We got it. We have serious FOMO when it comes to pop culture. And so we watch them all. But the Grammys, I think, are my favorite award show because it's just like one big concert where they just like sometimes hand out awards in between.
It's like almost as good as Jingle Ball.
Almost as good as
that
Jingle
we went
Ball.
To a few years ago, which was fabulous. The Jingle Ball, like the radio stations put on like a Christmas, like best artists of the year, like highest radio played artists kind of perform it together. Anyway, I love Jingle Ball because it's like the best of.
Yeah, you get like a bunch of different artists on the same stage and they each play like three songs, yeah. Which means they only play their hits and you just get everybody's hits and then it's over.
It's like great. The Grammys, like, but I don't have to leave my house.
Yeah.
Grammys are, yeah. Anyway.
Very apt comparison, dear.
So what did you, what were your takeaways from the Grammys? What was your biggest thing of the night?
Well, there was the big controversy, right, over album of the year between Beyonce and Adele, kind of the two titans of music. Beyonce won album of the year, or Beyonce did not win album of the year. Everyone thought
that was like a Steve Harvey slip.
That was. I almost gave away a big award to somebody who didn't get it. I really don't want to be Steve Harvey. Beyonce, everyone thought Beyonce was going to win album of the year for Lemonade, her big visual album that everyone on the internet seems to love, but she did not win. Adele won for 25, which is kind of the album that everyone over the age of 45 really loves, and which sold, you know, just massive, massive amounts of albums. So this was like a big thing after.
Wait, that so
all the Beyonce people thought Beyonce should have won. They thought that she should have walked away with it.
I was asleep by this point, which is no surprise. So you're telling me Beyonce didn't win.
Did not win.
Adele won. People are upset that Beyonce did not win, not that Adele won. Like, they're okay with Adele?
They seem to think they were not okay with anybody not named Beyonce winning.
Okay. So, this was on Twitter?
It was on Twitter. It was on everywhere.
So, how do you feel about this? Because you always have an opinion that we should talk about.
I was okay with it. I was fine.
You were okay with Beyonce losing?
I was fine with Beyonce losing.
Are you more of an Adele fan?
I'm not an Adele fan either. I just don't get Beyonce.
Like, what don't you get about her?
So, and this may be, like, heretical for me to go down this path in public, and I may
be... Are you ready for this?
I may get, like, a hailstorm of angry tweets from the Beehive after this. but I get Beyonce on a number of levels. I understand her appeal as a performer. She's a great singer. She's a great dancer. She's a very talented performer. I get her appeal as what she represents as a symbol of kind of the power of the black body, the reclamation of female black sexuality as a feminist icon. I get all that. And I think that's all great, and I'm supportive of that. What I don't get is I just don't think the music's that good. I think that it was good. I liked it a lot more, like, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Like, and back in Crazy in Love days?
Oh, that was great. That's a great song. But now I just feel like she took the melody and buried it in a cave somewhere and has left it to die.
Like, she doesn't have any melodies in her songs.
There's none, but there's certainly not, there's no, the hooks are harder to come by and less accessible.
I totally agree with you. My hot take on this is, I think a lot of people feel this way, but everybody's scared to say it.
That's true. And we had that kind of instance at the Grammys where I felt like the performance that she did was like, wasn't that good, was a little bit self-indulgent. Like, she's like portraying herself as the Virgin Mary.
But let's be real. It was very, like, she's very precise, very exact, very disciplined.
Oh, that, and I respect that about her. Like,
and so it's almost like you can't stop watching because it's going to be perfect.
Right.
Her performances are nothing less than perfection.
Yes, every time. But what she chose, like, what she will realize her vision and, like, execute her vision, but the vision that she chose to execute and to give to us, I thought it was just okay. I thought it was a little weird. I thought it was a little self-indulgent. I thought portraying herself as the Virgin Mary essentially was a little strange. I didn't really get it. Like, I got the message, but it just didn't really resonate with me. I didn't think it was that good. But the internet was like, oh my gosh, Queen Bee does it again. Immaculate, you know, just killing it. I was like, oh, I don't get it.
But was immaculate supposed to be like a
immaculate conception? You're very quick, dear.
Was that what people were meaning?
I don't think so, but that's very good. So yeah, I was fine with Beyonce losing, and I'm not a big Adele fan. Are you a big Adele fan?
I have feelings about Adele that rival your feelings about Beyonce.
Wow, you don't like to roll in the deep?
I feel Beyonce's great too. Kind of same thing. Very, very talented. She is a amazing
Adele.
Singer. Adele.
Yeah.
Amazing singer. Like, can sing live like it's nobody's business. Like, she is an amazing artist.
Maybe the preeminent female vocalist of our generation.
I for sure would agree with that. I think she is like one of the best vocalists we've ever seen. I think she is hilarious from what I mean, I don't know her personally, but like from interviews and bits she does online, like she's hilarious. She's
very funny.
It's a foul mouth.
She's very foul.
So funny.
It's so funny because she's got such a proper British accent, and then
she's so funny and she's so good. And I bet she's the best friend and the best mom and the best wife. And I think she's an amazing person, but she is boring. Just boring. Like, she performs and it's like, I almost fell asleep in the first performance that she performed first of the Grammys. She opened the show and I almost fell asleep. I think she's just boring. I have never seen her live. So I don't know if I should be saying this, but I've talked to people who have seen her live.
Yes.
And I was one time having a conversation with somebody about artists performing live, and they were like, well, and I said, I think Adele's boring. I don't know why you'd ever go to her show. You might as well just buy her record and listen to it, because what are you getting visually that you're not getting just by listening to it? And they said, well, you know, she does a great job live, you know, like halfway through the show, she'll kick off her shoes. And it's like, and I just cannot get over that. Like, really, in 2016, 2017, you cannot get away with just like kicking off your shoes halfway through your show.
So you're just not down with watching Adele stand there behind a microphone.
In like a shimmery black dress of some kind or something and singing. Like, I think she's an amazing artist, but I just visually, like, I just would never go see her live. I think she's missing a piece of being a true artist.
You value, in terms of live entertainment, you value the show, you value
the
spectacle.
Yeah, you gotta be able to perform, right? Like, you have to be able to perform and be, well, like, an amazing.
In fairness to her, she does perform. She's a great live singer. She just doesn't have the pieces going on around her.
Yeah.
Like the dancers and the pyrotechnics and the screens,
like,
and the lasers.
She just needs something. And even if it's, like, not all the time, you need something.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just not
worth
it.
I think she's boring.
Great, but boring.
Great, but boring.
Well, that's fair. So we obviously weren't huge fans of Beyoncé or Adele. What kind of was your favorite moment of the night?
My favorite moment of the night was for sure Katy Perry. And I have to tell you, Steve, you were right.
My favorite words in the English language.
You were right. On Friday, Katy Perry's new song came out. What's it called? Chain to the Rhythm. Her new song came out, and Friday morning you asked me if I'd listened to it yet, and I hadn't. And you said, I think it's going to be one of the first great songs in the post-Trump era.
The first great pop song of the Trump era.
Trump era. And I was like, okay. And then I listened to it during the day, probably 9 or 10 times while I was cleaning the house, and I did not get, like, the political undertones or political message.
I promise you they're there.
No, I know. And I was talking to a friend and also did not get it. And I didn't love the song. I mean, it's Katy Perry, so I kind of have to like the song, but I didn't love it as much as I usually do.
As much as you wanted to.
As I wanted to love it. And so she performed at the Grammys on Sunday night, and it was my favorite performance of the night. And
really?
Why
did you like about it?
I mean, Katy is, like, fabulous, right? Mm-hmm. She's just a great performer. I think she's turning a new leaf, kind of going out of the candy cane, Candyland theme that she lived in for the last few years.
That's definitely been her au revoir.
And she's, like, transitioning into this new phase that I'm very excited to see. I think she is an amazing performer, and I think the performance was very moving, and the little activist inside me loved it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I've...
And so I have to tell you, you're right, because at the end, I didn't want to believe that it was, like, politically... You know, I mean, it was obviously the performance was not subtle.
Right.
But at the end, when, like, the Constitution was, like, displayed on the background and she was standing there singing, I was like, okay, Steve was right. This was tied to the Trump era.
Yeah, and there was some people who didn't like that it was so outwardly political. She was wearing a armband honoring Elizabeth Warren. She was wearing the white, you know, Hillary pantsuit. She had the Constitution show up big behind her at the end. And people were like, that's, you know, maybe she's that like, oh man, no subtlety from Katy Perry.
And what was your snarky comeback?
Well, I think we're at a point in our politics where subtlety, maybe subtlety doesn't cut it anymore. I mean, Donald Trump is the president of the United States. He's the least subtle man in the history of the human race. So maybe we've moved past subtlety. Maybe we need to be a little bit more out front if we're gonna, you know, catch people's attention.
I thought she did a great job. I would love to know how that song came to be. Was it, like, post-election? Obviously the rap part seemed more recent, but I would love to at some point. I hope she says something about how that song came to be. You know, has it been in the works for a while or something like that? Anyway, I thought she killed it. What was your favorite part of the night?
Well, this probably shouldn't be surprising. I thought there was a lot of things that were great. I thought Bruno Mars was great. I really love Chance the Rapper. He had a huge night, won a lot of Grammys, had a great performance. If you haven't listened to Chance the Rapper, you absolutely should. But if you listened, do you have thoughts on Chance the Rapper?
I have listened to his album for the first time tonight, really. And I am liking it.
Recent convert.
I am a recent convert as of, like, the last 2 hours.
Well, that's good.
I'm
glad.
I'm feeling good about it.
There's lots of space on board. Jump on the train.
Jump on the train.
But that was not my favorite. My favorite, and this should not be surprising to anyone who listened to the pod last week, was...
Your girl, Maren Morris. Your other girl, Maren Morris. Besides me. I'm your first girl.
She's, like, maybe my third girl.
Besides, behind Casey Musgraves.
I love Casey Musgraves. But Maren Morris did a duet with Alicia Keys, and they sang...
They slayed.
That's a Beyoncé reference, by the way.
I thought it was NeNe Leakes.
NeNe Leakes got it from Beyoncé.
Oh, well, I got it from NeNe.
So here we are. The Beehive will be happy with us. We're using the Beyoncé lingo. But they did slay Maren's song once, which is not like a big single or anything. It's just kind of a big power ballad from the end of her album. But it was great.
But they, and you'll have to expand on this, I think they did such a good job because they've performed together before. And so you could tell the chemistry was there. You could tell they weren't like two awkward singers that had never met that like showed up on Saturday for soundcheck and ran through their song.
Kind of like Fall Out Boy and Thomas Rhett last year.
Oh gosh, let's forget about that.
Maybe the worst Grammy performance of all time. And there's some really bad ones out there.
That tells you how bad it was.
Yeah, and they have performed before. Maren and Alicia actually did a CMT Crossroads together. Crossroads is essentially where CMT, Country Music Television, gets a country artist and kind of a pop or rock artist and brings them together for like a 1 hour special. And they essentially do a show where they sing each other's songs together. And Maren and Alicia did this a couple months back, and it was really, really good. Their voices really meld well together. Alicia totally gets like the country vibe and can like...
Which is like surprising to me.
It was not surprising to me because country kind of has its... Like most genres, country, rock, they kind of have their base in soul. And I think Alicia really gets that as a soul singer, as an R&B singer. And so she kind of brought that to the equation, which is kind of the roots of the kind of music that Maren makes.
That's true.
And so that was really great. And I love CMT Crossroads just generally. It's a great show.
I liked their episode of CMT Crossroads, but... I have to say, it was probably my second favorite.
What was your favorite? Well, I already know what your favorite is, but tell the people what your favorite is.
To our boys.
Yeah, they're like your two adopted sons who you're very attracted to.
So that's not weird at all. That's totally weird. So Thomas Rhett and Nick Jonas did a Crossroads together in 2016.
It was like, to be clear, it was like in April and it's still saved on our DVR.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
And Jesse watches it regularly.
Regularly. So like if I'm thinking best parts about 2016, like. Highlights.
There weren't a lot of great
things. Not a lot of great things, but we try to find the good in all.
Yeah.
Top thing was, of course, Cohen was born in March.
That was a big one. Big win for the team.
Big win. Hillary Clinton being nominated as the
first woman nominee of a major party.
It was a big deal. She didn't win, but she didn't win the election in November. Spoiler. But
if you didn't know that, sorry for ruining it for you.
But she was the nominee. That's a big win for women and a big win for the country.
Big crack in the glass ceiling.
Third,
another one.
Most important thing of 2016 was Nick Jonas and Thomas Rhett performing together. The CMT Crossroads.
And why was it so good? Like why
they
this?
Did? I mean, like I love Nick Jonas. I think he's fabulous. He's very talented. I do wish that he would maybe get more than one leather jacket because he performs in the same black leather jacket every single time he performs, and it kind of is grossing me out.
A man doesn't need more than one leather jacket.
But, like, it kind of grosses me out. I don't know. I mean, he was in Suede the other night, and that was refreshing, but, like, it's kind of gross.
I'm sure it's, like, wipeable or something.
I don't know. You can get it dry cleaned. I don't know. I mean,
He's got money. He can afford dry cleaning.
I don't think it is. I don't know. But anyway, Nick Jonas in the leather jacket performed with Thomas Rhett, who's one of my country favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Thomas is just adorable. He has great hair.
He has hair all over his body. He's a very hairy man.
He has great hair. And he just, like, you can just tell he loves being a musician. And he just, like, has fun while doing it.
Yeah.
And so him and Nick together was fabulous. If you have not already seen it, which I'm assuming most people probably haven't, I bet you could probably YouTube Google it. I don't know where they'd find it.
I think it's, if you have like a, you know, a cable or satellite provider that has on demand, it may still be available on your on demand.
Or come over to our house and I'll watch it with you.
Come on over. If no matter where you are, buy a plane ticket. Come on over. Jesse will watch it with you any time, day or night.
I will watch the whole thing with you. I think I just think it was a great blend of the two of them. And they were both at the Grammys on Sunday night. And I was very excited that they maybe would perform, even though neither of them have anything to promote. But they were both just there. I wonder if they met up and like chatted for a bit because they just had great chemistry and did a great job.
Well, that is good. So that was the Grammys. Is there anything else you want to say about the Grammys?
No, I mean that a lot happened, but I feel like we don't want to bore these people with.
That's true. A lot that was good, a lot that was bad, but it was the Grammys and we loved it. So I want to take a quick break and let the nice people listen to some cheerful piano music for a few seconds, and then we'll come back and talk about one other event that was very important to have in this weekend in the Pierce House. we're back. And as promised, we're going to talk about one other event from this weekend, this past weekend, that was very, very meaningful and highly anticipated in the Pierce House.
I actually don't really know what you're about to say.
You were there with me, but I wanted to talk about Kevin Durant's big return.
Oh, because we talked about it last week.
Exactly.
We teased about it last episode.
Yes, and I had actually forgotten that he was actually making his first return to Oklahoma City since leaving to join the Golden State Warriors this last Saturday. And so it was a really big deal, the first time he'd been back since he so unceremoniously ditched them.
Is that what you were watching when I was doing all that online shopping the other night?
Yeah, I think that was it.
I didn't know that what game it was. Okay.
Yeah, when you were just asking me, can I get this?
And I was like, planning Cohen's first birthday party.
Whatever you want, dear.
That was the game you were watching. Okay.
So we talked about this last week in the we talked about Kevin Durant. He came up in the context of Jesse kind of outing me as...
Yes. So Steve does not like to meet famous people. We talked about it. And it is because you're afraid. I mean, you can go back and listen to last episode, but you're afraid they're going to be different than what you envision them to be.
I'm afraid they're going to end up being jerks.
Yeah. So does this mean Kevin Durant's a jerk?
Well, I don't know. Because for years, Kevin's from D.C. This is kind of where he's from. And he comes back here during the summers and people like run into him at the mall and stuff. And we had talked about it before, specifically about meeting him. And you were like, well, we should like try and find him.
Go to one of his pickup games.
Go to one of the pickup games he plays in down at Berry Farms in D.C. And you can like meet him. And I was always nervous about it because like what? Like everyone says he's a super nice guy. Like one of the real nice. Like,
is great, or was?
Everyone says that he's one of the class acts in professional sports. Not super nice guy. But I just, you don't want to find out that that's wrong.
But
it's not true.
We did find out it's wrong.
Yes, which is what happened on July 4th.
So we were talking before about good things that happened in 2016. One of your top things that was terrible in 2016, besides Donald Trump, was
Kevin Durant leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder on July 4th, 2016, a day which shall live in infamy in the Pierce household.
Oh, I can't believe we're actually finally talking about this. I don't think we've really, really talked about this.
I've really avoided dealing with my emotions on this. I've been dealing with them internally.
Internally, which is how you like to do things. So tell me, I mean, honestly, on the 4th of July, we didn't even talk that much. I could tell you were very sad.
Yeah, just kind of, I was feeling really confident going into that he was going to stay and he was going to come back and it was going to be great. The team was going to be really good. And then he just kind of dropped this massive bomb on the morning of the 4th of July of a holiday saying like, oh.
My favorite holiday.
Jesse's
so
favorite.
Inconsiderate.
So very inconsiderate.
So inconsiderate.
Because it basically ruined my day. He was like, oh yeah, I'm going to Golden State. The team that they had just lost to blew a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals to. He decides that he's going to go, of all teams, he wasn't just going to leave. He was going to join that team, like form a super team.
I have to say, I did not even care if he left or not. Well, I mean, I kind of did.
You were really mad when he left.
I was mad because I knew it was making you really upset. But I mean, I like Kevin Durant. I liked Kevin Durant.
I felt like I lost a family member.
You had a really hard time with it. And so, but what I don't get is you've always preached that these kinds of things shouldn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
So let's talk about, like, you got to practice what you preach. What do you preach, Steve?
So I felt very conflicted about this for a couple reasons. One, like I said, I felt like I lost a family member. Like I felt like I had been
your only brother.
Yeah. Like I had been. Well, I had another brother named Russell who also plays for the team. But those were my two brothers.
You have one other brother named Jake Welch who hasn't left you.
Massive friend of the pod.
Massive friend of the pod. But I guess you now have four brothers, and one of the brothers was leaving.
Yes, one of the brothers was leaving. Like he hadn't died. He had just decided to like flip me the bird and move across the country, never to speak to me again. And so I was like, that was like really hard. I really struggle with it. But I've, like you said, I've always been the one. I really ascribe to it this bit that Jerry Seinfeld did in a stand-up, a long, long time ago. And he always talks about how kind of absurd it is for sports fans to like hate players and like turn on players after they leave their teams, because like his point is they're still the same person, And
they're still humans.
It's still
athletes.
The same human being who you loved when they wore your uniform, but now they're just wearing a different uniform. They're the same person. And so essentially, if you boil it down, sports is cheering for laundry. You like the person who's wearing your color shirt. And when they change that shirt, you decide that you don't like them anymore and they're bad people.
So your whole life.
Which is totally right.
So your whole life, though, you've been like, no, what, like this whole thing isn't true. Like, I'm going to cheer for people no matter who they play for if I like them.
Right. And like when LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami and all the Cleveland people were in the streets burning his jersey, I was like, that's so childish and so stupid. And I really believe that. I still believe that.
And then
but it's different when it happens to you.
To you. Very true.
And so I've really had to deal with these kind of conflicted emotions since July 4th. And then Saturday was kind of like the culmination when he actually came back.
So what happened? Because I don't remember it.
He got booed.
No.
So badly. I mean, this is a guy who, again, this to my conflicted feelings, this is a guy who gave 9 years of his team to the city, essentially put this city on the map.
And how much he's, I actually was hearing about, like, how much he's donated to, like, the people in the area. And, like, after different tornadoes, he's, like, done a lot. Help people out, and he's really built up that community.
Yeah, he donated $1 million after the Moore tornado to end up with to help with the cleanup. He's, you know, built basketball courts at schools, donated a lot of money, and spent a lot of time in the community. And so it's like hard because like, and he was like the face of the city of the state of Oklahoma.
He
could have got elected governor if he wanted to.
Awesome would that be?
He was like what they had going for them. And then he left. And so there was a lot of angry, spurned people who felt
at the
betrayed.
Game.
Yeah, and he got booed. Every time he touched the ball, he got booed. He got booed when he got announced. He got booed basically anytime he did anything. They booed him. And they had signs, and they called him a coward and all these things.
So what was...
And his mom was sitting over there in the corner. I felt kind of bad for her because she was enduring all this. I don't know what she thought was going to happen.
Well, so, like, did he say anything in the post-game press conference?
I didn't watch the post-game press conference because I turned it off because the Thunder were getting their butts handed to them.
Sad.
It was so, I mean, Kevin Durant got the last laugh in the terms that he won the game. But I guess the people of Oklahoma got to air their displeasure with him, for sure.
So, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You know, I'm come to peace with it. After, you know, I think it was cathartic to have all of the yelling. And now that that's over with, I'm kind of ready to move on. I'll always be sad, and it will always be weird and sad for me to watch Kevin Durant play in a Warriors uniform.
What about Cohen's little KD ball he has upstairs in Oklahoma City Thunder colors?
And I think this is ultimately where I come down. Like, I've had my conflicted feelings. I felt spurned. And I still do, and I'll always be sad. But I really do think Kevin Durant is a great person. I think he's a great moral model. Even if he made a decision that I didn't like, that's his right. He's an adult. And he is a professional, and he gets to choose where he wants to work, just like I choose where I want to work. And he wanted a change.
Are you being so rational right now?
I don't know. Sports isn't normally for rational people, but I'm trying really hard.
Why are you being so rational?
I'm trying really
because
hard.
Because I am being very irrational about this whole thing.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
How are you being irrational?
I did not feel quite the way that you did about everything, but I was not thrilled when I heard he was going to the Warriors. Like, he could have gone anywhere else, and I wouldn't have minded.
So what's the problem with the Warriors? Just that they were that was the team they lost to?
I mean,
or?
It's kind of like he was a bandwagon jumper like the rest of America.
Sure.
And
we're all on the Trump bandwagon now by that calculation.
And I feel like I'm not a big... The Warriors are fine. Steph Curry is fine.
The greatest shooter in the history of the game of basketball.
He's fine. His wife is so annoying.
You're not an Aisha fan.
I am not an Aisha fan. I was maybe an Aisha fan briefly in like 2011 or 12.
Did you even know who she was in 2011?
I knew who, 12 maybe?
I don't even think I knew who
she was
until 2013.
I knew who she was pretty early on because she's big into food and I follow a lot of food people. Like I love following.
Like 5 or 6 years ago, she was on the scene?
Maybe like 4 years ago she was on the scene.
Yeah, like 2013, I think, okay. is when she really came on.
It was a little bit before that. But anyway, I'm not trying to be one of those purists. Like
you you liked Ayesha Curry before she was cool.
Before she was Ayesha Curry. Yeah. No. I'm not being one of those people. But she just has, I've kind of watched her evolve. Like, I feel like I was kind of on the bandwagon very early on. And I was really into her recipes and her food. And I'm always following and loving when I find new food people. Because I love to cook. And I'm very inspired by those kind of people. But then, I hate to say this, but she kind of sold out and became.
Ooh, you are becoming one of those people.
Oh my gosh.
I liked Ayesha Curry before she was cool, but now she's sold out,
like,
bro.
Like she just became like.
How did she sell out?
In short, she's trying to be Chrissy Teigen, who's married to John Legend, Chrissy Teigen is just the boss. Like,
doesn't
awesome.
Everybody want to be Chrissy Teigen?
Yes, everyone wants to be Chrissy Teigen. But
I'd like to be Chrissy
only
Teigen.
Only one person can be Chrissy Teigen, and that's Chrissy Teigen. But Ayesha, I feel like, is trying to, like, every other post on Instagram. So I followed her for a while, and then I just had to unfollow her maybe a year ago because she was obnoxious, and I didn't really know what Ayesha was. Like, I didn't believe anything that she did. And so I don't follow her. But then,
what made you not believe her?
Then as we were prepping for this, I went back to review and do some homework and make sure my feelings are validated. And they are. She has fixed a few things. So let me kind of preface this. So she's really into food. She loves to cook. She has a show. She put out books. She's very talented. I think she should stay in her lane of like cooking and food. I think that's like her thing.
Okay.
But then I feel like she started to deviate. A few years ago, she started to deviate and like every other post on Instagram was sponsored. She was like doing collaborations, not even collaborations. Like she was like Pottery Barn Kids came in and decorated her kids' room. And then she like sold the photos to People Magazine of her kids' room to People Magazine to like show this Pottery Barn furniture she just got. Girl can buy Pottery Barn furniture if she wants. I'm sure Steph would have purchased that Pottery Barn furniture. She did not need it for free.
He's got a lot of money. Under Armour pays him a lot of money.
And then she complains about being in the spotlight and how they had to move. They had to move because of security problems in the area because people were finding out where she was living. And I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't have sold pictures of your kid's room to People Magazine just to get some free pieces of furniture from Pottery Barn. Like, I just think that's weird.
So you think it's a little tacky.
A little tacky. And like, you don't need to do, like she does collaborations with different kids, like freshly picked mocks, and she does all these. And it's like, I get you have kids. I get that you're a very Renaissance woman and like to do a lot of things, but maybe she should stay in her lane.
Just pick one thing.
And as
just
I was doing,
dedicate yourself to the food.
Like stay in your lane, stay where you're good. And actually as I was going back through and kind of looking through her Instagram, like she is staying in her lane a little bit more now, but she's still doing one weird random sponsored posts. The only people that do as many sponsored posts as she does are like the celebrities, not even celebrities, the reality stars from like Bachelor in Paradise. And after they go on the show, they
Vanderpump
come.
Vanderpump Rules?
Not even Vanderpump Rules. Like Bachelor.
We should talk about that at another time.
We should. Like the people who go on The Bachelor and they get like 150,000 followers and then all of a sudden they're
just
promoting
a content farm.
They're promoting like random gummy bears that make your hair grow. And like they're promoting.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, these like blue gummy bears that everyone like posts pictures. I'm like, no, your hair's extensions. It's not those gummy bears. Or like there's a few other like those weirdo like Fit Fab Fun boxes. They like all get these. Anyway, and these like flat tea, tummy teas. I don't know. These things.
These are all things I did not know existed.
But like all the reality stars will go on the shows, get the followings, and then they're doing these. And I don't blame them for doing the posts.
Because they're trash.
Because they don't, these people on Bachelor in Paradise don't really make a lot of money and they've just got this newfound fame and so they're trying to make a buck. I can appreciate that. Ayesha Curry does not need to be making a buck off of these random people. I think it just tarnishes her image more. She should just stick to food, stick to like her guest chef appearances at restaurants, do her show, be a good mom, be a good wife.
So brand management advice from Jesse.
I just don't like Ayesha. She like makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't believe her.
Well, Jesse, in a year when we have the number one podcast on iTunes, I hope everyone comes back and holds us to that we're not getting taking the free Pottery Barn furniture.
Yeah, no. Some people might be like, she's smart, good business. No, I just think she didn't need to do it. Well, it's annoying.
You know, on the scale of annoyingness, I'll put Ayesha Curry somewhere below Kevin Durant ripping my heart out, stomping on it, and throwing it in a blender.
It's true. It's true.
Well, Jesse, this has been a wonderful opportunity to chat with you once again. I guess we can chat once the microphone turns off, too, because we are married and have a child together.
But, that's true.
But thank you for everyone for listening. Thanks for tuning in. It's been another wonderful episode, and I guess we'll see you next time we have dinner at our place.